Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Russia has charged four men with involvement in Friday night's terrorist attack at a concert venue on the outskirts of Moscow. The death toll from that atrocity, in which civilians were gunned down, the venue was set on fire and part of the roof collapsed, has risen to 137. An ISIS group from Central Asia has claimed responsibility for the attack, and the four men charged are nationals of Tajikistan. Well, for the very latest, I'm joined by former British ambassador to Belarus, John Everard. John, thank you for joining us. As I said, this group, ISIS-K, they've claimed responsibility. They've released images too. Vladimir Putin was very quick, though, to blame Ukraine. Kyiv has denied any involvement. How do you assess the evidence? Who do you believe is telling the truth?
I think that Islamic State had gone to some lengths to demonstrate that it was them. Not only have they released this absolutely horrible graphic footage of the operation underway, which has not been challenged, which has been checked by various people, and which is almost certainly genuine, but also they have put up the photograph of the four ISIS soldiers, as they call them, who carry this out, and the faces match those in the footage we've seen in the Russian court. So I don't think there's much doubt that it was in fact Islamic State. You say Putin was very quick to say it was Ukraine. He wasn't quick at all. Putin actually said nothing for between 12 and 24 hours. The Kremlin was clearly caught right on the back foot. They weren't expecting this. They were horrified by it, and they couldn't at first work out what to say. It was a strange moment, because for nearly a day, Russian media, including Russian radio, were treating this like a Western journalist would. There was perfectly competent disaster reporting, vox pops from near the scene, and attempts to get statements from the authorities. Only later, when the Kremlin line came out, did they start to say, this is Ukraine.
And amongst within that statement from Vladimir Putin, when it eventually came, was this suggestion that the four people responsible were heading for the border with Ukraine, that that was their escape route. Now, did he base that on any evidence, do we know?
No, he hasn't produced any evidence for this at all. It's claimed that they were arrested in the Bryansk Oblast, which is about, 400 kilometres to the west of Moscow, which is where you'd be going if you were going to Ukraine. But to Ukraine, you would have to firstly cross several minefields, cross hundreds of thousands of Russian troops, military patrols, everything. It would be, as the Ukrainians have pointed out, either a stupid or suicidal thing to do. It is much more likely that they were heading for Belarus and probably through Belarus into Poland. This is just Putin trying desperately to spin what for him is something of a disaster to his advantage. Mm-hmm. Ukraine had nothing to do with this.
People might have seen the images of the men when they appeared in court. They were in a bad way, some of them. One of them was using a wheelchair. I mean, they were clearly not treated well.
That is a very polite understatement, Claire. The Russian security services have released absolutely sickening video of these men being very badly beaten up. One of them appears to have lost an eye. One of them appears to have lost an ear. They were very heavily tortured. This has two effects. Firstly, the security services were trying to show how tough they are. If they were tough, they wouldn't have let this happen in the first place, of course. But second, imagine how this looks to Islamic State. These are four of its heroes who've carried out a spectacularly, in their eyes, successful operation, being beaten up by infidels, by kafirs. That, plus the fact that they are not being given credit for their operation by the Kremlin. And the whole point of what they're trying to do was to hold Russia, as they see it, to account for what it's done in Chechnya, in supporting Assad in Syria, and so on. If you don't get the political credit for it, and if you feel you have to avenge the horrible treatment of four of your soldiers, this points to a further outrage by Islamic State, which is exactly what Putin doesn't want.
Why has ISIS-K, this group, why has it chosen this moment to launch this attack?
We don't know. It's a funny time to do it. You'd have thought that if you were trying to do an attack for maximum impact, you might have done it immediately before rather than immediately after the Russian presidential elections. But I suspect that the timing was determined not by any kind of political calendar, but simply by how long it took them to get the men, the equipment and the explosives they needed together in the right place.
Mm-hmm. These men, as I said, are from Tajikistan. Vladimir Putin is relying a lot on those former Soviet republics in Central Asia to man his war in Ukraine. So how does this attack affect that supply of workers, of soldiers?
Quite profoundly. Firstly, there is considerable sympathy for Islamic State in Central
Asia. Oh, John's line appears to have dropped. Yeah, we've lost John. That's John Everard there.
They're quite different.
Oh, sorry, John.
From the way they've
John,
been talking about it.
John,
Russia.
Sorry. We lost you just for a moment, and you were telling us that the pipeline of workers from those former Soviet states in Central Asia, the effect on that will be profound. And then we lost your answer. So would you mind just telling us that once more, please?
Happy to do so. Yes, the willingness of Tajiks to go and work for Russians, I think, will diminish sharply in the light of this this event. There's a lot of support for Islamic State, not only in Tajikistan, but more widely in Central Asia. These are fellow Muslims fighting against an oppressive white Slav dominant society. And not only the fact of the attack, but the way that the four Tajiks, fellow Tajiks, were treated will make a lot of Tajiks think twice before coming to Russia. Moreover, amongst those that come, there will be a significant number of Islamic State supporters. Islamic State, if it wants now to recruit from within Russia, will find it much easier.
Now, a really interesting element to all of this is, despite the dire relationship at the moment between Russia and the United States, I heard on the BBC this morning that the Americans warned the Russians about something like this being on the cards.
That's right. They even gave a date for it. The date was slightly out. They thought it was going to happen earlier this month. But clearly, the Americans had somehow got wind of details of this plot. That was embarrassing enough for Russia. But Putin publicly dismissed this, thought it was just blackmail, an attempt to derail the Russian election. And of course, for the Russians to admit that the Americans have spotted an attack on their soil that they themselves had failed to spot would be deeply humiliating. There's no way that Putin is ever going to admit that the Americans got this right.
Now, we have seen renewed attacks on Ukrainian cities, including Kyiv, with missile attacks being launched overnight. But there was a strong offensive on Friday prior to the Moscow terror attack, where we saw a million people without electricity in Ukraine. Do you link this renewed resurgence in attacks on Ukrainian cities to what happened in Moscow, this bizarre situation where Vladimir Putin is attributing this to Ukraine and increasing his attack on that country?
No, I don't. I think this is just a fluke. To organise the kind of attacks that we've seen on Ukraine over recent days takes a great deal of careful preparation. You've got to muster the missiles, get your forces in place and so on and so forth. These attacks must have been planned well before the Kruger City Hall attack was carried out. That's just a coincidence.
And in terms of this impact of this on Vladimir Putin, given that the election, and you've made this point, has already been held, so the timing is somewhat strange. Do you think that it will have any repercussions for him at home?
Yes, I do. We don't know how serious those repercussions might be, but this is very bad news for Vladimir Putin. Even if, big if, he can pull the wool over the eyes of ordinary Russians and convince them that this was the dastardly Ukrainians up to something, he will not be able to convince the highly informed and articulate clique on which he depends, the oligarchs of various grades and the special advisors. They will know very well that this was, firstly, was Islamic State, nothing to do with Ukraine. Second, this was a massive security failure in Russia. And thirdly, that there's probably more where this came from and that Putin has no answer to this. Putin is in trouble.
John, thank you very much. John Everard, former British ambassador to Belarus and also former British ambassador to North Korea.